from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldane. It's Thursday, September 9th. Coming up, the Illinois House returns to Springfield today to resume talks on a massive energy bill. We'll have a preview of those discussions in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. As those last-minute negotiations continue over energy and climate legislation in Springfield, renewable energy entrepreneurs say each day that goes by means a less certain future for their businesses in Illinois. Hannah Meisel reports.
Lawmakers are trying to reach agreement on a deal before Monday, when Exelon has threatened to permanently shut down one of its nuclear plants without state action. But negotiators already blew past another deadline last week, and $1 million per day has been draining from a fund set aside to subsidize solar energy projects in Illinois. COVID-19 interrupted solar panel installation, but ironically, the federal Paycheck Protection Program passed early on in the pandemic saved Lisa Albrecht's business, Albright Solar. However, Albrecht says she didn't take everything she was eligible for in February.
Because I was confident we were going to pass legislation, and I didn't feel like I should be taking those funds away from other businesses, so I didn't take it all. And now I don't know if I can pay my rent.
Albrecht and other solar entrepreneurs say their industry has been held hostage by negotiations in a larger energy deal. I'm Hannah Meisel.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is indicating support for a COVID-19 vaccine mandate for school children once vaccines are authorized for those under 12. Speaking on the 21st, Durbin recounted how the broad public acceptance of vaccines helped lead to the eradication of polio in the U.S. Durbin compared that to the hesitancy of some to take the COVID-19 vaccine today.
Should we do everything we can to protect the kids in our school? My God, yes. If that was the case in the 1950s with polio, it certainly is the case today.
Vaccine mandates for children would likely be handled at the state or local level. In Illinois, state law requires children to be vaccinated for diseases like flu and the measles before they can attend school. But vaccine mandates for COVID-19 have been more controversial and have been specifically banned in several states, including Indiana. In-person campus tours resumed Tuesday at the University of Illinois, 16 months after they were stopped during the early part of the pandemic. Gwen Skiles of the Illinois Public Media Student Newsroom has more.
A group of 10 prospective students and their parents gather around a student wearing a clear mask who is answering questions about residence halls. This is the first in-person campus tour at the University of Illinois since the start of the pandemic. The university's coordinator of campus visits, Hannah Steinbrunner, says the university is doing their best to welcome prospective students as safely as they can.
All of our measures have been SHIELD approved. Our capacities are at 50%. We're encouraging guests to either, encouraging them to be vaccinated or to have a recent negative test before they come.
Steinbrunner says the university has restricted building access as much as they can and required masks throughout the tour. She says in-person campus visits are needed for prospective students to make an informed decision. I'm Gwen Skiles, Illinois Newsroom.
The University of Illinois has set new enrollment records on two of its three campuses and system-wide. In 10th-day enrollment numbers released yesterday, university officials reported enrollment of nearly 95,000 students across its three campuses, up nearly 5% from a year earlier. Enrollment on the Urbana-Champaign campus grew by about 4,000 to more than 56,000 students. The campus set new records for freshman, undergraduate, and graduate enrollment. The U of I's Chicago campus enrollment is up about 2% from last year, with more than 34,000 total students. Enrollment on the Springfield campus dipped below 4,000, down about 200 students from last fall. The U of I system saw drops in enrollment for a few demographic groups, including Black undergraduates. That fell about 3%. Total Black enrollment, including graduate students, was flat. Still to come, as the Illinois House returns to Springfield today, we'll get a preview of the talks over a massive energy bill from Illinois politics reporter Tony Arnold. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Illinois legislators appear to be on the cusp of passing one of the biggest pieces of legislation concerning energy and climate change. It could determine the future use of coal, natural gas, and nuclear energy in the state for decades to come. But negotiations have been contentious among top Democrats, leading to a months-long impasse that appears now to be coming to an end. Illinois politics reporter Tony Arnold spoke with WBEZ's Mel Ballara to talk about what we should expect to see in the coming days.
And Tony, let's get right to it. Legislators are up against a deadline here. If they don't act soon, then are nuclear power plants in Illinois going to start shutting down?
Well, Exelon has been driving this ship for several months now. The company has been emphatic that if the state does not bail them out by Monday, then it will begin to shut down its nuclear plant in Byron outside of Rockford. And this energy proposal, it does that with nearly $700 million in subsidies to save Exelon's nuclear power fleet. The Illinois Senate President Don Harmon, he recently spoke to the concern that he had with the jobs being lost if the legislature does not act.
Inaction has consequences, and this is urgent. And there are so many folks that I'm worried about. I'm worried about the nuclear power plant worker who's staring up at the ceiling right now, wondering if she's going to have a job or going to have to move her family out of state.
And the issue, Melba, is that the energy bill is not only about nuclear, it's about many, many other issues as well.
And one of those other many issues is obviously the future of coal in Illinois. Where does that stand right now?
Well, this is where we are still waiting at the moment to see the details, but we have a pretty good sense of the broad strokes that the legislation will include. It's going to call for the end of coal plants in the state by 2045, particularly one plant south of St. Louis called Prairie State. That's one of the biggest polluters in the country. Democrats like Harmon have been arguing for a way to let the coal plants figure out how to reduce their carbon emissions rather than a hard end date.
Tony, though, this is the issue that's kind of been holding up the negotiations all summer long, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, Democrats have two loyal groups that they're trying to balance their interests, labor unions and environmental groups. Labor unions obviously want to preserve jobs, and environmental activists want to shut down coal plants. So while Harmon has been trying to find a way to keep those jobs, Governor J.B. Pritzker has been pushing for the ultimate end to coal in Illinois. It's not enough to say that coal will end in 2045 for Pritzker. There are all these reports on the dire need to address climate change now. And so the governor wants to see a reduction in carbon emissions much sooner. He wants a phase-out of coal over the next 25 years. And another complicating matter is that there are several Chicago suburbs that get their power from this coal plant, including Naperville, Batavia, Winnetka. So those suburbs are going to have to figure something else out.
Tony, you know, we haven't really talked about the elephant in the room yet. There is an ongoing massive corruption investigation into Springfield's operations involving a power company, Commonwealth Edison. What does this legislation do in response to that scandal?
Yeah, you know, I said before that this legislation just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But when it comes to ethics, it's only gotten smaller and smaller. Several ethics reforms were taken out of negotiations as this has dragged on for one reason or another. Only a few things are left, like having legislators disclose if they have a relative on the payroll of a utility, such as ComEd. But there are several elements that have come out of the ComEd scandal that are just not addressed. And while there is talk of restitution, in which ComEd could end up having to pay its customers for its wrongdoing, the terms spelled out in legislation does not make it clear that customers would be in line for anything close to what ComEd gained from its bribery scandal.
That was Illinois politics reporter Tony Arnold speaking with WBEZ's Mel Ballara. The Illinois House is scheduled to meet today to take up this matter. And finally, in your forecast, the National Weather Service says we'll see sunny skies today with a high of 77 degrees. That's all for today. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Jim Meadows, Gwen Skiles, and Tony Arnold. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Mulvane. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.